It really is a pleasure to be here, and it's a privilege to share the word. You know, that's a funny thing for me to say, because for so many years I ran from God because I thought God wanted to ruin my life. And there were many ways I thought he could do it, but I had a top two list. It was kind of 1A and 1B. I thought if God made me do this or this, that would be the worst things he could ever do. The first thing was to make me be a pastor. And I thought that would be the worst thing he could ever do. But 1B was to make me be a missionary. I thought, oh, I can't trust him. And I ran from God until I was 35. And when I finally got into the place in my life where I said to God, I am so tired of living the life that's just taking for me. It's all about me. And I considered myself a taker. And I said, God, I'm tired of being a taker. I want to be a giver. And in that instant, I felt the Lord spoke to me. And he said, now I want you in ministry. And I thought, no, not that. I'll do anything but that. 10 days I argued with God. I still kept running. And after 10 days, finally God caught up with me, and the whole 10 days he was right there, I want you in ministry. I thought, oh, there's so many other things I could do. I'll go to church every Sunday, I'll be a good guy. You know, I'll give to the church, I'll help people. But God kept saying, I want you to serve me, I want control of your life. That's really what he was saying. And so I did it. And I knew it. He called me to be a pastor. And he's led me to be a missionary. But really what he's led me to do is just follow him. Like he leads all of us to do. You know, what does it really mean to be someone who follows Jesus or a disciple? Yeah, you know, I've noticed in my own life, and I've noticed again kind of being back in Canada a little bit. You know, we tend to like things nice and neat, a little cozy, a little comfy. Do we? Don't say yes. You probably don't want to say yes to that one. But it's true. You know, we like things kind of wrapped up and right on time. And oh, by the way, services in Honduras typically last, in Manos churches anyway, about 2.5 to 3 hours. So by my clock... We really don't like to get dirty. We often like things predictable. You know, I am not a naturally compassionate person. If you'd like to meet one of the most naturally compassionate people that I know, let me introduce you to my wife. And there's Anna. She is a naturally compassionate person. Always. Me, not so much. She's the first one when she sees someone in need to reach out. When we lived in Canada, she did the same thing. It didn't matter who it was. But I am not a naturally compassionate person. And there's situations that I'm not always comfortable with. It might not be because somebody smells or they're dirty or they're... But there's situations and people that I'm not always naturally comfortable with. How about you? Any situations that you're typically uncomfortable with? Any people that you're typically uncomfortable with? You know, we have funny goals sometimes as people and as Christians. And we want, sometimes it's not that these things are wrong, but we kind of, when we set them as goals in our life, like things like comfort and ease and predictability, it just doesn't really work that way when we follow Jesus. He's not predictable. Amen? Oh, by the way, they do that in Honduras. I didn't hear you. Amen? Isn't it true? Jesus is not predictable, at least not by our standards. And really the question that I struggled with before we went to Honduras as missionaries was, is comfort and ease and predictability really, is it really as good as it gets? There's nothing wrong with being comfortable. There's nothing wrong with kind of knowing what's happening next. But what happens when you don't? But what happens when it isn't? and its comfort and ease and predictability really the life of a disciple, a Jesus follower? You know, if you want to find out what it means to be a disciple or a Jesus follower, really all we have to do is listen to what Jesus said and look at his example. Think about where he was born, in a stable. Think about his parents, a carpenter and a humble young woman. His childhood, he subjected himself to his parents. His ministry partners were common blue-collar men and women. The people he was drawn to, the people everyone else pushed away, the hurt, the lost, the sick. Near the end of his ministry and his time on earth, Jesus was teaching about the righteous and the unrighteous, the sheep and the goats, heaven and hell, the end, our end. And he said, there's something for you. If you are my follower, if you are my disciple, and I know you and you know me, there's something for you. Take what's coming to you, he says, in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. Think about that for a second. And here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me. And the disciples are thinking, wait a second. When did we ever see you in any of those situations and we did this for you, or we came to you? We've never seen it. And he said, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Whenever you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You did it to me. Can you think of times when you did something to help somebody else? When you served them, when you helped them, when you clothed them, when you gave them food, when you came alongside when they were sick? I think most Christians can think of times when we did this. Is that the new one or the old one? But we don't need that. Not yet. I can think of them. I can think of when we went to Honduras in 2013. I can think of things I've done in the past. How about you? Did you know that the Greek word here for did? How many people love grammar? Raise your hands. Wow. I'm always amazed that anyone would raise their hands to that. And did is what tense? We all know this one. It's past tense. So he said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you did it to me. But the Greek word here, did, actually means three things. You did it. Past tense. It also means you are doing it. Present tense. And it means that you will continue to do it. Future tense. It's not just about the things that we did. You know, been there, did that, got the t-shirt. Where is he? It's not just about that. But it's also about what you are doing in your daily life. It's about what you're going to do in your future life. What are you going to do with your life as you follow Jesus? So with Manos Extendidos, and working alongside Alvin and Ellie Anderson, and helping out in the daycares, and preaching in the churches, and working alongside guys like Marco Tullio and Cesar, for me, for us, these are the things that we have done. These are the things that we intend to continue to do. But because that's where God has placed us. And in the prison ministry, both of them, with teenagers who, from the ages of 12 to 18, are in this prison, and they're in there because they belong in there for the things that they've done. Well over three quarters of them in both the boys' prison, where there's over 200 prisoners, and the girls' prison, where there's 50, the vast majority of them are in gangs or have or were in gangs. But God is working in those prisons. We got a call, we got an email about 2 weeks ago that six girls in the girls' prison gave their heart to Christ. These are hardcore gang members. Amen? God is at work in Honduras, like He's at work here. And with Marvin, my goal is to support him and do whatever I can to help him do what he does every day in one of the hardest places to serve that I've ever come across, in that boys' prison. But we also get our hands dirty in other ways. And that's Freddie. Some of you might even have met Freddie. Freddie is 14. He's been on the streets half of his life. And then I saw him, we hadn't seen him on the streets for a bit, and then I went into the prison one day and Freddie was in prison. Then after 3 or 4 months, Freddie got out, and I was praying that we wouldn't see Freddie back on the streets. Not that I didn't want to see him, but I didn't want to see him there. And that picture that you see right there is Freddie. The first time we saw him again after he got out of the prison, he was back on the streets. But he knows that we care. And even more importantly, he knows that Jesus cares. Because when we go, we remind him every time, Jesus loves you. And sometimes Freddie will want us to pray with him. And Freddie's always hungry. He lives on the streets. We said, Freddie, isn't there some place you can go? No. Can't you go back home? Isn't there one family member you can go to? No. We want to do whatever we can to remind Freddie that Jesus has not forgotten him. And that's why we go. And when teams come, I'm sorry, if you come to Honduras and you don't want to go to the streets, it's just going to happen. If you come to Honduras, we will take you to the streets at night and introduce you to some of our friends. It's a must-do thing. Because it's so radically different than what we know here. But Jesus is there. Jesus. You know, I sometimes think, you know, what would Jesus do if he were alive? You know, let's say the year 2016. What kinds of things do you think Jesus would do? And sometimes I wonder about that. And sometimes I wonder, you know, what are some of the places that Jesus would go? I'm certain that Jesus would be on the streets of Tegucigalpa and Comayagua, sharing His love with people that everyone else has forgotten, that everyone else shuns, that everyone else turns a blind eye to. So when we go, we know we're being Jesus' hands and feet. And we're reminding people, He hasn't forgotten you. That's why we go. That's why we're so passionate about going. And every once in a while, we'll get to do that. One of the teams that came down, that's them, praying with a woman who we're not sure how long she was going to live after that because she was so sick and she was an alcoholic. She's praying to receive Christ on the streets. It's worth going because Jesus is there. And when we are there, we know He's there. Just like when you go to the people you go to, you know that Jesus is there because He's in you. So it doesn't matter where you are. Sometimes, maybe you're like me, sometimes I still miss it. I have an opportunity and I just miss it. I don't do it. For whatever reason, I just get self-occupied or I get other things on my mind or I don't want to or something and I miss it. That can happen anywhere. It can happen in Honduras. It can happen in Winnipeg. It can happen in St. John where I grew up. It can happen anywhere. We can all miss it. But I think for the disciple, the follower of Jesus, always compassion and caring for people is always at the heart. Empathy, kindness, care, love, love of others, love for others, is always at the heart. My guess is in your life as a follower of Jesus, if you are, and you may be here this morning and you are not a follower of Jesus, let me just say one thing. There is no life like it. And it may not be the easiest life, but it's the best life. Can any of you say amen to that? It's the best life. Surrendering control of your life and your direction and your will to Jesus, who created you and had a plan for you. There's nothing better than that. But if you're here this morning and you would say, yeah, I'm a follower of Christ, my guess is that you would say, you know, there's things that I have done. I know there's things that I've done to help. I followed Jesus, and when He led me to do this, I did it. When He led me to do this, I did it. My question is, are you still doing it? My question is, will you continue to do it? It's a lifetime thing. It's not one and done with Jesus. Or are you missing it? Are you missing the opportunity to follow Jesus as a disciple? The discipleship of compassion, are you missing it? It can happen anywhere. We've come to really appreciate Love Honduras. It's beautiful. The people, the culture, it's beautiful. Friends, the people of Honduras are beautiful. They really are. As John, he's beautiful too. John lives six doors down from the Central Church in Honduras, of Mount Central Church of Mount Six Andes. And every day we go, my compassionate wife, every day, every time we go, she takes food for John. Every time. And she gives him a gift of food. It doesn't feel like much of a gift for us, but it's a big gift for him. And he always shares it. Always. Well, it could be a cat, could be a dog, could be one of his friends that live on the street. He always shares. And one Christmas, last Christmas, we were driving up to go to a service, and he waves us over. Well, Anna, actually. He waved Anna over. He said, come here. In Spanish. We knew what he meant. So she went over. And he had a gift for, two gifts. It was Christmas. And John had two Christmas gifts for my wife. One was a beautiful, once beautiful, silver purse. Once silver purse. And a jewelry box. You know, the mirror was gone, the hinges were broken. And Anna was moved to tears because he found it. We know where he found it. Where he finds most things. On the street, in the garbage. But that gift, those gifts came from his heart. Now the other side of the story is when Anna was opening up the purse and it's got all the zippers in it. And I guess they're in ladies' purses. I don't have one, but I think they have several. I'm not sure. There's lots of room in those things. And she opens them up and she's looking through, and then she opens up a big zipper part, and I'm driving in the truck and she's sitting beside me. She lets out this scream. I said, what's wrong? I said, what is this? She said, it's a huge cockroach. I said, kill it. I don't know if it's still in our truck or not. We love John. And even more importantly, Jesus loves John. And there are other people in the Manos Sextendidas Church, even though most of them are poor, who also remember John with food. And sometimes they'll just go up to him and give him a hug. Every day, thousands of people, beautiful Hondurans, are going hungry. And they're hungry for Christ. And God has called us there to share that message that Jesus loves them. He has not forgotten. There is hope in Christ. Amen? And that's what He's called us to do. That's what He's called us to continue to do.
But what about you?
What has He called you to do?
Or if you're asking yourself, what is it He's called me to do in the past? Or what do I feel like He's calling me to do right now? Or as I look kind of ahead, you know, I'm getting a sense that God might be calling me to do something. What is it? Could be here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, Honduras. Maybe it's investing your time. Maybe it's investing your talents. Maybe it's investing yourself in praying for people like ourselves and others. Maybe He's leading you to invest financially. I don't know. But if He's leading you to do something, we need to do it. Whatever it is. In James 1:27, the author says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows. Or in another version, it says, reaching out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight, in their situation, in their circumstances. You've got them here. I know it. They're everywhere. People in need are everywhere. But most of all, they need Jesus. And they don't just need to hear about Him. They need to experience Him. And that's where you come in. That's where I come in. As a king, don't we want the king to say, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Not that you did it for me. He's not saying that. He's saying you did it to me. I identify with that person that you are blessing and you are serving and you are encouraging and you are feeding and you are giving food to. I identify with that person. You're not doing it for me. You are doing it to me. God bless us and encourage us and give us the courage to do to Him, for Him, whatever it is He's leading us to do. Because that's what He's created us to do. And He's created us to go to Honduras, go back to Honduras, long term. We're signing up to be long term missionaries with the Baptist General Conference of Canada. We were midterm missionaries. Probably no one else in here knows that that's a possibility. We're re-signing to be long-term missionaries. And I honestly don't know what long-term means when you start at 56. But He does. Amen? And you are not too old. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. There is no retirement for Christians. You might retire from your work, but you never retire from following Jesus and being obedient to Jesus and loving and blessing those you come in contact with. There is no retirement. So you are never too young. You are never too old. One of my best friends in Honduras is in his mid-70s, and he's been a missionary in Honduras, in Central America, for over 40 years. And he's still going. If you have life and breath and strength, and you can pray, or you can serve, and you can encourage, that's what you're here for. That's what we're here for. And God, help us to do that together. Thank you for doing that together with us in Honduras. But we're so blessed to see what you are doing together here. And we hear the stories. I've been hearing about Nessa Avenue for, I don't know how long now. We came to Lifebridge in 2009. I've been hearing about Nessa for a long time. And you've been a blessing to so many, and especially the kingdom for so long. Let me encourage you to keep going. There are people who need to hear about Jesus. And some of them, maybe many of them, most people don't want to go near them. Whoever you serve in Jesus' name, you are actually serving Him. Our prayers, and you will continue to do that with passion and zeal. Thank you for the opportunity to come and share our heart and our mission with you. We love you. We pray for you. Thank you for praying for us and partnering with us. God bless.